You're on the right path because you have a certainty and a knowing that the universe has your back.
Don't be fooled by this, friends. It's all hot Cajun garbage fire.
You are a passenger along for the ride. The universe is making sure that you are getting there.
Okay, let me... Oh, man.
I don't say good day to you this day of your time. How are you all?
This guy is faking the whole thing. Or we're watching this entity take over this man's body to the applause of an entire room full of people. Love the shirt, by the way.
Why would a soul choose to not want to live?
This is absolutely wicked. The unborn chose their own termination. Here's the reality, okay? These folks are perpetuating lies. Did you know that the largest proportion of users on TikTok in the United States are teenagers? As a matter of fact, just about half of all users on TikTok are under the age of 30. And what are these young folks subject to? New age mysticism. That's what we're looking at today. We've got some doozies for you, including one video where someone says probably the most vile thing I've ever heard. We're going to get into all of that in just a moment. Welcome back to Wise Disciple. My name is Nate Sala, and I'm helping you become the effective Christian that you are meant to be. Before I jumped into this ministry, I was a pastor and a debate teacher, and it is within the intersection of both of those skills that I will examine what we're about to watch. Be sure to like and subscribe to the channel. Now, listen, I don't have a ton of sponsors, and I kind of like it that way, okay? But Summit Ministries has partnered with me, and I'm so thrilled to tell you about this. Summit is doing some of the most important work for the church, which is equipping the next generation with a strong biblical worldview. Let's face it, the future of the church rests with our children. Amen. Summit equips young folks between the ages of 16 to 22 in a two-week conference, okay? The great news is I'm going to be at this conference in Georgia, okay? So to learn more about this and register your students, go to summit.org/wise disciple. You can save $200 right now when you use the code WISE24. Seats are filling up as we speak, so register your students today. Again, it's summit.org/wise disciple.
What does it mean to be a super attractor? It means that you're committed to feeling good. This experience of having a divine connection to the universe and receiving guidance and receiving messages and receiving wisdom and moving in that way and feeling directed and guided and certain no matter what, even when things aren't working out for you, you trust that you are in the right direction. You're on the right path because you have a certainty and a knowing that the universe has your back. That's what it means to be a super attractor.
I take it this is all in line with the law of attraction. Which, by the way, I never saw The Secret, which features the law of attraction. And if you're thinking, oh man, I need to know all these different ideologies and worldviews in order to respond, you don't. What you need to do is do the hard work of just being a Christian and waking up every day seeking to know God more than you did yesterday. Because if you do that, then you'll understand where these other religious beliefs and faith systems don't hold up in light of the truth. And that's what we're talking about here. We're talking about false religions. You know, false idolatry. Heck, you'll even be ready to face brand new religions that perhaps haven't even been invented yet. Why? Because you'll know the truth so deeply and so well. Does that make sense? So when you hear these claims, which let's face it, that's all these things are, it's just claims all the way down. The first question you have to ask is, what is the evidence for any of this? What's that? No evidence was given? Okay, well then, why should we believe these claims? Even if they sound great and amazing and wonderful, even if these claims promise you'll always be successful, you'll always be healthy and make money and get up on stage and motivate people the way this lady is, if there is no evidence for these claims, why should you believe them? As it stands, the law of attraction has no scientific support at all. As a matter of fact, you'll hear about science sometimes, right? You'll hear about quantum physics, you know, kind of sprinkled into these motivational TED Talks. But when you press down deep into the details, you begin to realize these folks don't even represent science very well. One of the fundamental axioms of the law of attraction is that like always attracts like. Have you heard that one before? And that's, you know, that we're told that's just the way the world works because it happens in physics. Except, wait a second, has anyone seen two magnets put together? Clearly, like does not attract like. Like repels like. You know, it's the same thing with electrons. We're told by these folks that electrons have positive charges. False. And what happens when two negatively charged electrons come near each other, they're not attracted, they're repelled. This is all nonsense. The biggest problem with the law of attraction, in my opinion, is that it's billed as a law of the universe, much in the same way that the laws of physics operate. And yet, there's no mathematical framework here. There's no way to make testable predictions to disprove it. You know, as a matter of fact, you can't disprove the law of attraction because if something doesn't happen, it's actually your fault. You didn't send out the right thoughts. You didn't manifest correctly. You're the problem when the law of attraction doesn't work. That means it's actually unfalsifiable, which makes it no better than a conspiracy theory. Don't be fooled by this, friends. It's all hot Cajun garbage fire.
If you struggle with releasing control and surrendering and trusting the universe, I need you to hear this metaphor. It's going to completely alter your brain chemistry and make it way easier for you to surrender and, by the way, get there faster. I want you to imagine that every single time you have stated what you want and you have done everything you can to get what you want, and now it's completely up to the universe, that you are now firmly planted inside a car with the universe as the driver's seat. You are a passenger along for the ride. The universe is making sure that you are getting there in the best possible way.
I have thoughts. Let me finish.
When we are trying to control, when we're trying to figure out the details, figure out the how on the way there, it's basically us reaching over to the driver's side, grabbing the steering wheel and being like, wait, we should go this way instead. And what starts to happen when we start to mess with the process and go like this? It actually slows down the entire process, because how are you supposed to continue going straight, vroom, vroom, when you're now jiggling the car all over the place? The universe is going to be like, hold on a second, we got to slow this down. But of course, there is an alternate. You could be in true trust, release, and surrender, fully trusting that the universe knows how to get you there. And in this case scenario, you're kind of like the passenger princess, right? You're listening to the music, you're looking outside at the beautiful scenery, you're chilling, and this helps you enjoy the ride even more. And it helps you get there faster because you're not messing with the process. And here's the trippiest part. The destination and the journey is the same either way. Whether you try to control it or not, the destination and the journey is the same either way. So you can either let go, release, surrender, and jam out, or you can drive both yourself and the universe crazy and slow down the entire process.
So notice here, and actually this was in the previous video, the universe is given anthropomorphic characteristics, right? Did you notice that? So the universe is the one in the driver's seat. That means the universe can drive. So when you're trying to get what you want, by the way, what if you want someone else's spouse, right? Like, what if what you want is actually going to hurt somebody else, or it's going to hurt you simply by you getting what you want? Didn't hear anything about that. So you're trying to get what you want, and so the universe gets in the driver's seat in order to make sure you get what you want. So the universe has intentionality? Is that what's going on? Do you see how this is being communicated? Here is a question to ask, right? What is the universe? Like, in this system, what is the universe at all? How does the universe possess intentionality? If intentionality only comes from minds, which in our experience, that's exactly the case, then is she suggesting that the universe has an intentional mind? If so, what other qualities does the universe have? Does it have feelings? Does it experience pain? You see how I'm listing qualities that belong to persons, right? In the same way that minds belong to persons. What does any of this even mean? Like, and how could you prove any of this? Once again, we're left with a bunch of claims about the way things are in reality, but no evidence and no warrants to back it up. If this were a debate stage, you would be looking precisely for evidence and warrants for these claims. Somebody might say, well, you know, Nate, golly, if it doesn't hurt anybody to think this way, then who cares what these folks believe? That question presupposes that there's nothing really at stake with regard to your spiritual beliefs. There is no real deleterious consequence for believing false things about reality. But that's just it. There is a deleterious consequence. People's very souls are at stake when they go after false religions like this. 2 Corinthians 11, verse 3 says, this is Paul speaking, I'm afraid that as the serpent deceived Eve by his cunning, your thoughts will be led astray from a sincere and pure devotion to Christ. For if someone comes and proclaims another Jesus than the one we proclaimed, or if you receive a different spirit from the one you received, or if you accept a different gospel from the one you accepted, y'all put up with it readily enough. Look at this, verse 12. And what I am doing, I will continue to do in order to undermine the claim of those who would like to claim that in their boasted mission, they work on the same terms as we do. In other words, the Apostle Paul is doing the work of striking down these claims, right? So he's using the word that I'm using. These are claims. And he does this work to undermine those who would pretend that they're talking about the same Christianity that he's talking about. They're not. They are deceitful people who are pulling Christians into false religious worship. Look at this, verse 13. For such men are false apostles, deceitful workmen, disguising themselves as apostles of Christ. And no wonder, for even Satan disguises himself as an angel of light. So it is no surprise if his servants also disguise themselves as servants of righteousness. Their end will correspond to their deeds. So the end is the very thing that's at stake. It's the fate of their eternal souls, right? And if you think about it, like just one chapter previous, Paul said this. This is 2 Corinthians 10, verse 3. For though we walk in the flesh, we're not waging war according to the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not of the flesh, but have divine power to destroy, here it is, strongholds. We destroy arguments and every lofty opinion raised against the knowledge of God and take every thought captive to obey Christ. Have you ever wondered what he's talking about when he uses the word strongholds? He's talking about mental prisons, ladies and gentlemen, and that's exactly what happens to folks, particularly those who choose to believe that the best way to get through life is to take the arrow of focus and turn it inward. That's not how you're supposed to get through life. That's a recipe for looking to yourself and getting lost. That's a recipe for locking yourself inside a prison of your own making based on the lies that you choose to believe about the way the world works. That is why we Christians are not apathetic when we see false religions. We recognize what's at stake. You know, we don't say, oh, well, you know, let them believe whatever they want as long as they don't hurt anybody. They are hurting somebody. They're hurting their very souls. By the way, I still have not heard how these beliefs magically keep people from hurting someone else too. I'll ask again, how many people are manifesting a relationship with someone else's spouse, someone else's significant other? In other words, how many people are manifesting things for selfish reasons? Because selfishness doesn't just affect the individual, but it very often affects the people around them as well. This is why, friends, C.S. Lewis said that the gates of hell are locked from the inside. Every day that someone justifies rejecting their own creator, they are ensuring that they stay locked inside their own false worldview. Hey, real quick, I hope this video is blessing you. Would you do me a favor and like and subscribe to the channel? It really does help me to get this video out to more and more people. I really do appreciate it. So first of all, we've seen this guy before, right? Did you see the previous spiritual TikTok video I did? This guy had his eyes closed last time. Love the shirt, by the way. You know, I legit have a shirt that looks almost exactly like that shirt. What is going on here, though? I don't know. He said something right at the very beginning. Hold on a second. Let me rewind this.
All right, guys. Thank you for being here. Have fun. I will see you later.
I will see you later. And it says Daryl channels Bashar. What?
Hi, Daryl.
Bye-bye.
What is he doing? Hold on. I should have looked more into this. The title says the process of Daryl entering the channeling state to channel Bashar.
My name is Daryl Anka. And for the past 40 years, I have been channeling an extraterrestrial entity that we call Bashar. Bashar is a...
Okay. Okay. It's starting to click. So now... This is starting to make sense. Do you remember in the previous video, this guy said... It's interesting. Like, I'm sorry, the previous video now, like he said something right in the middle of all of what he was saying. Somebody in the chat had said that this was a bunch of word salad, but he said something very quickly, something along the lines of the you people on your planet or something like that. Right now, this is all making sense. Daryl Anka claims that his body is being taken over by an alien through what, channeling? Like, what is, let me, hold on, let me play this.
A first contact specialist from his civilization, which is called Esasani, which is in a parallel reality. If we were to overlap their reality with ours, his planet would be about 500 light years in the direction of the Orion constellation. He's brought through a lot of information to us over the last 40 years, and we're going to explore and share some of that information today in this series.
So, oh my gosh. What did I just get myself into? So this alien from another dimension. See if you can track where my mind is going with this, because this sounds oddly familiar to us as Christians, doesn't it? So this alien from another dimension is taking over the body of a human being named Daryl in order to, what, get up on stage and teach as many people as possible New Age mysticism? Come on, guys. We know what this is. So I guess this actually... This actually then explains this video, right? This is the alien taking over Daryl's body. Is that what's going on?
Say good day to you this day of your time. How are you all? All right, thank you.
What did we just witness? I mean, there's really just two options here from our Christian perspective. Option number one, this guy is faking the whole thing. Or option number two, this isn't an alien, friends. This is something much more sinister. This is a demon. And we're watching this entity take over this man's body to the applause of an entire room full of people. Either way, I mean, this is incredibly disturbing. By the way, which do you think it is? Is Daryl faking all of this? Or is this man in need of an exorcism? Let me know in the comments below. I don't know. I'm not entirely sure.
Did you ever have a fear or wonder if the entity speaking to you was good or evil?
I get this question a lot. The question, if nobody heard that, was in the beginning, was I afraid or wondering whether the entity that was coming through me was good or evil? By the time I started channeling, this is what I understood. My intention was positive in terms of doing it. Therefore, it was not possible to connect to anything but that which was aligned with my intention.
Okay, so Daryl was asked, have you ever wondered whether this thing, this entity, you're letting take over your body and possess you, have you ever wondered if it was good or evil? Then Daryl says, well, my intentions for letting it take me over were good. Therefore, it is impossible for the entity to be bad because the consequences of my actions always align to my intentions. Once again, does this square with the way reality works? Is it possible for you to enter into every situation with the best of intentions and ensure that there will always be a good outcome? So if I jump out of an airplane with no parachute, but my intentions were good, therefore nothing bad will happen? Does that even make any sense to say? What does the Bible teach about this, by the way? Proverbs chapter 14, verse 12 says this, "There is a way that seems right to a man, but its end is the way to death." Okay, that actually matches up to reality, does it not? If you pursue a path that seems right to you, it may not lead to success or flourishing, right? It may actually lead to death. Now, Proverbs is teaching this concept on a more day-to-day level, but Ephesians teaches the same concept on a spiritual level. And the news is even worse than the Proverbs. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 1, "And you were dead in the trespasses and sins in which you once walked, following the course of this world, following the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that is now at work in the sons of disobedience, among whom we all once lived in the passions of our flesh, carrying out the desires of the body and the mind, and were by nature children of wrath like the rest of mankind." So on a spiritual level, you're not heading to death. You're dead already. Your soul was stillborn the moment you came into this world, according to Paul. And how do we know that? Because you were seeking to pursue what satisfied your own flesh. You pursued what you thought was right in your own mind. And a lot of this trades on false ideas, you know? Colossians 2 verse 8, "See to it that no one takes you captive by philosophy and empty deceit, according to human tradition, according to the elemental spirits of the world, and not according to Christ." I mean, that's New Age mysticism in a nutshell. It's empty philosophy. It's according to the elemental spirits of the world. By the way, Michael Heiser says that these spirits, if you pay attention to how the Apostle Paul writes, are supernatural evil beings. And I think he's right. This concept is picked up more so in Ephesians than in Colossians. But I think Heiser's right about this, which means that this guy, Daryl, may very well be teaching feel-good philosophy because he's getting them from evil supernatural beings who apparently have taken over his body.
Because when you are of such a different vibration than something that's operating negatively, you're not visible to those things. They can't find you. So it never concerned me because before I started channeling, I understood that.
It took me a while to want to watch channeling because of what I was taught it was supposed
to be. Spooky.
Well, evil, downright evil. That's what I was taught.
Yes. So, do you understand the paradox in that? And again, this is not judging, this is not name calling. But the people who have a first response of something that they do not understand as evil are perpetuating the idea of evil.
That's true.
What does that even mean? So people who call something that they don't understand evil are perpetuating the concept of evil. So therefore what? Like what follows from that? That evil doesn't really exist? I mean, if that's the suggestion, I don't see how that follows at all. Maybe it's possible that objective evil exists, that the Bible's claims about the devil and evil are all true, and at the same time, people call things they don't understand evil. What if both of those things are true?
Why isn't the first response, oh, it's from source, it's from God, as you say? Why is the first response that's evil? Ask that question.
I'm asking.
Because of fear, because of self-doubt, because of a lack in the belief of their own worthiness.
Yes. And isn't that what religion tends to do to people?
It's what religion may choose to do to people.
Or what people
choose
to receive from those
yes,
teachings.
Of course, we sense that's changing on your planet. But again, all paths are valid if they bring you to a place that is true for you.
Exactly.
All paths are valid if they bring you to a place that is true for you. The first half of that statement sounds awfully objective, while the second half of that statement sounds awfully subjective. So which is it? Because what we just heard is something that is being passed off as profound, when in actuality, the statement itself is intellectually schizophrenic. See, let me press pause here just for a moment. This is why I promote Summit Ministries, okay? Folks like Dr. Jeff Myers and the faculty of Summit, they're going to teach your son or daughter, or you, if you're between the ages of 16 to 22, what I'm doing right now in this video. I'm listening to what is being said and identifying the errors in the worldview. And then I'm responding from the Christian perspective. That's exactly what Summit will do to train up your student. The experience is a two-week conference where your student will get just about 60 hours of biblical worldview training. If that sounds like a lot, it is. But the testimonies of so many students of this training makes it all worth it. And like I said, I'm actually going to be at the Summit site in Georgia. Okay, but seats are filling up fast. So again, I encourage you, go to summit.org/wise disciple and register for Georgia or the online track. Don't forget to use code WISE24 for $200 off. And for those of you who do sign up, I'll see you in Georgia.
Hey, it's Intuitive Medium, Deborah Hanlon here, taking your questions. This question is in response to an old video I did about abortion. And the question is, why would a soul choose to not want to live? And there she's saying that if we don't have the concept of pain and suffering, why would they want to choose not to live? Like, what, basically, what do they know to not want to live?
So it seems like in a previous video, this lady suggested that the souls of the unborn who have in fact been terminated by their own mother, that those souls actually chose their own termination? Is that what we're hearing right now?
And my earlier video was that aborted souls, terminated pregnancies, already knew they were going to be terminated and aborted. And I know this is an unpopular opinion and you don't have to believe it. This is my understanding of it. So children,
your understanding based on what though? This right here has got to be the most wicked thing I have ever heard on TikTok. Maybe ever. I mean, we've heard some doozies in these videos, right? But this is absolutely wicked. The unborn chose their own termination. Listen to what this lady is really saying.
Babies, souls that are aborted or terminated wanted to come into life and go right back out of life. They did not want to stay here in the physical for this lifetime. Why would they choose that? Hard to say. Maybe they're not prepared, or maybe that wouldn't be accurate, but maybe they just, it's just not time. Also,
maybe you're lying. Or even worse, maybe you're communicating a lie that originated from the very pit of hell. I would love to hear any kind of evidence or warrants to back up this disgusting claim, anything at all, but we all know better. There's nothing else here other than claims. This is pretty vile.
Their soul, the terminated pregnancy's soul, and the soul of the parents who created that soul are in sort of a, we'll call it a contract, that they're all having an experience together. The experience of having to make this terrible decision, terrible meaning difficult, I don't mean bad decision, this awful, hard decision for anyone to make. That soul and the mom and dad's soul is sort of in a contract of, let's have this experience together and we will learn from it. We will expand from it. We'll grow from it. We'll evolve from it.
What if this contract extends past the date of birth? I mean, if it really is the case that these souls enter into a contract and do this difficult, terrible, awful thing that also isn't bad, what? And everybody's doing it together by contract, you know, what if the contract actually extends past the date of birth? You know, maybe the contract extends to when the baby is maybe 6 months old. Can the parents still perform this difficult decision that's not really bad on the baby? What if the baby is 12 months old? Or maybe 3 years old. When does this contract expire? And oh, by the way, where did you get the idea that there is this contract in the first place? Or that the unborn actually wants this to happen at all? This is
ridiculous. So I understand this is super unpopular. I understand this is a very heated topic, especially right now. But my understanding is that souls know and they choose their parents because it is our parents, or whoever our people who raise us, our parents are, it doesn't even have to mean biological, we know what we're coming in for.
I don't know. Where is she getting her understanding? That's my question. Where is any of these ideas coming from? There's nothing that is given as an answer to this question.
We kind of chose it. I'm going to do another video on that because I know a lot of people are going to go wild on this one. So,
yeah, if you mean by go wild, do you mean we're going to call what you just said the most disgusting, vile idea a person could perpetuate on the rest of society, including young women who may be in crisis pregnancy right now? Then, yeah, we're going to go wild. Because this is not only wicked and evil, it is the exact opposite of God's desires. Jeremiah 1:5 says this, and this is the Lord speaking, "Before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. And before you were born, I consecrated you, I appointed you a prophet to the nations." The Lord's eyes and desires on us go all the way back to when we were unborn. The King David says it like this, Psalm 139, verse 13, "For you, the Lord, formed my inward parts. You knitted me together in my mother's womb. I praise you, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made by God. Wonderful are your works. My soul knows it very well. My frame was not hidden from you when I was being made in secret, intricately woven in the depths of the earth. Your eyes saw my unformed substance. In your book were written every one of them, the days that were formed for me when as yet there was none of them." This is God's attitude when it comes to the unborn. They are precious in the sight of God. As a matter of fact, when people kill innocent children, this is how God responds. Take a look at, so this is Jeremiah 19. "The Lord became furious when the people of Judah and Jerusalem terminated their own offspring in order to worship other gods. Verse 3, "You shall say, hear the word of the Lord, O kings of Judah and inhabitants of Jerusalem. Thus says the Lord of hosts, behold, I'm bringing such disaster upon this place that the ears of everyone who hears of it will tingle. Why? Because the people have forsaken me and have profaned this place by making offerings in it to other gods, whom neither they nor their fathers nor the kings of Judah have known. And because they have filled this place with the," here it is, "the blood of innocents, and have built the high places of Baal to burn their sons in the fire as burnt offerings to Baal, which I did not command or decree, nor did it come into my mind." This is how God feels when we terminate the unborn. And to sit here and even suggest that the unborn is asking for it, that they want their parents to do this, is probably one of the most disgusting things anybody could say in today's culture. This was difficult to watch. I got angry when I heard the last person. Boy. Here's the reality, okay? These folks are perpetuating lies that I believe did not originate from any person. These lies come from the father of lies. And so, in as much as these people can trigger our emotions, let's just continue to pray for them. It's not too late for these folks to recognize the truth, repent of their ways, and follow after Jesus the rest of their lives. Amen. Boy. Hey, don't forget to join my Patreon community, even just to read the Bible with me. And that's free for anyone who wants to join. If you choose to support me, which is how I continue to do this ministry, you can also get exclusive access to videos like this before they make it to YouTube. You can join me for exclusive live streams and ask me anything you want. The link for the Patreon is below. I'm going to return soon with more videos, but in the meantime, I'll say bye for now.